I'd like to welcome everyone in service tonight. I don't know who's supposed to be opening up tonight. I looked on my paper and I forgot who it was. Can you imagine that? I forgot. I think it was Brian Harper. Somebody, Jessica said, who's leading? I said, I hope the Lord does. And if the Lord leads it, it'll be good. If I lead it, it might be like the blind leading the blind. We'll all wind up in the ditch. But we hope the Lord leads the service. I talked to Scott a while ago. I told him I was going to nominate him for President of the United States. I told him he was smarter than all of them combined. And he agreed. But he agreed to accept a nomination if I would be Vice President. That ruined it right there. That ruined it. So,
sound like a good team.
So we'll just have to endure them, Scott. But, it's good to be here. Good to be on the Lord's side. And it's good to smile and be thankful that we're in a free country.
Amen.
That we can worship the Lord. And all the other things that comes our way, whether we think they're bad, good, indifferent, it doesn't matter. God's in control. Whether we think the world's going down, God's got it in his hand, and it won't go until that day appointed when he's going to judge the world in righteousness. So until then, I like that song, until then. But until then, we worship him and keep pressing on. I believe the Apostle Paul says, I press to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So we need to keep pressing, and one day we'll make our goal through his mercy and grace. Not through our works, but through his mercy and grace. So it's good to be here tonight. I'm just thankful that the Lord has given us another time to meet together. And I want everybody to be obedient tonight. If the Lord passes by your seat, tells you to do something, do it quickly. You know why you need to do it quickly? Because the devil's going to be right there to tell you no. Do it. Mind the Spirit of the Lord. Does anybody have anything right now?
Yeah, Charlie, I do.
Yes, you don't.
I'd rather be here than where I was at visiting a little bit ago. Seen Ruby and had prayer with her, and I thought I couldn't wait to get out and come to church, Charlie, and I thought, man, I'd rather be in church as I would be laying here in this hospital.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I'm a child of the King, and as me and Al and Bobby and him was talking this morning, it seems like when we take spells, we get real quiet for some reason.
Right.
And it's not the Lord,
right.
It's our fault for not being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. Like you said, you'll sit there before you know it. The devil will tell you don't get up.
Right.
But I'm glad I'm a Christian, and I just wanted to praise him and honor him for what he did for me.
Amen. Amen. Someone else.
Bless
you, Joy. Happy, happy. We ought to be happy every day.
Right.
Amen. Anyone else?
Harley, I'm just taking a
bless you, Stan.
I'll miss me, anyway.
I thought that was a reflection off of your shirt.
Yeah, it's got to be something along that line anyway. Listen, I haven't been here for a little while. I've been down physically. And I think to agree that sometimes it gets you down a little bit mentally. All of a sudden, you get into a rut. I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
This is going to be good.
Amen.
Charlie, I'm glad to be here. And I want to
bless you, Carla.
I have a praise report. I had some tests done about my heart that they had some concerns about, and everything came back okay.
Amen.
He's coming August 1st, but he said it was just to, as a checkup, to make sure that, you know, everything's still going the way it's supposed to. So everything came out perfect. I just want to praise the Lord and give him thanks and the praise that he deserves.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Anyone else?
Charlie, I'm thankful to be here this evening. And,
bless you, Brenda.
You know, a lot of times we ask the Lord for things, and He does them for us. And I was saying thank the Lord and everything, but the water got up around our place there Friday, and I was worried about our bridge. And I just kept saying, Lord, don't let it go, don't let it go. And the water kept rising. And whatever time, we had a huge flood. And that's when it washed out two homes and a mobile home couldn't help you there. But I was praying then. And I just prayed, God, turn the turn. And God literally stopped that house right here on my bridge, turned it around my bridge, and went on down the road. It's three houses going down through there. Not one of them touched that bridge at its day. But God, you know, and just it's a time like that, just say, Lord, protect my bridge. He does. Mm-hmm. You know, we think, I was crying from the time I left the church. I got out there to eat lunch with Doris and Joe out there today. And praise to the Lord for some things. And some things you say, I don't understand. You know, but God's with us, even in times when we don't understand why this is going on. You know, the kids at Amy were home for the graduation with Natalie and Abigail. And I watched the kids. They're happy. Amy's happy. Everybody's doing good. But I just want to say, why? You know, why did it have to happen? You know, how can a couple that goes to church all the time not realize that God can put anything back together if you work at it? You know, but these are things I may not understand, but God is with me through every bit of it. He's with them through every bit. My four kids are happy, and that's all I need to know. My grandkids
bless
are
you.
Happy, Nandy's happy.
Bless
but,
you.
But, you know, we will go through things in life, and you think, I don't understand why. Maybe it's not meant for me to understand why. Maybe it's not meant for you to understand if you're going through something. But God has blessings for us at the end, and He never leaves us. He's right there. Sometimes I just want to lay my head on His shoulder. Sometimes I feel like I do, and just cry with Him. And He holds me and says, it's okay. You know, don't know why I said all that, but maybe somebody else needed that. But I just praise God for everything I have in my life. It's not perfect, but I turn to my Savior for everything, and He's perfect. So all things can work out. When you have a question in your heart, like, why in the world is this happening in my family? Just look up and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I know you will take care of it all. So that's, I just had to say that tonight for some reason, but I praise the Lord for everything
right.
He's got for me in my
Lord.
Life. He's so good to me, and I don't even deserve it, but
thank
I'm
you.
So thankful for it. Y'all pray for me.
Amen.
Bless you. Bless you.
Bless you.
Good to be here tonight.
Bless you, Joe.
Bless you, Joe.
Bless you,
Joe.
One more night.
Amen.
Bless your heart. I had a surgery last week. My ventilator went off. And that's the first time I've done that. I've done it a couple times. And, I can actually hear. I've got my mic today and I can hear. So, of course, I went up to see the doctor and they're not concerned. They said, surgery and said everything looked good and said I'd be in there, you know, maybe just one day. And, I'm thankful that, you know, Aaron talked about miracles and that's my miracle. I'm just lucky to be here, you know. The Lord's been good to me. He's blessed me with that. And I'm thankful.
Bless you, Joe.
And y'all just found me.
Bless you, Joe.
Bless
your heart.
Bless
your heart, buddy.
Anyone else? Hope I'm real good.
Well, Joe, I've been thinking about Aaron's miracles all day himself, and it wasn't just the salvation, which was the greatest miracle I had, but in my life, I've seen several miracles. I've been thinking about them all day long. It's like my widowmaker and two other arteries was 99.9% blocked, and I never had a first sign or symptom or anything. But when they done the calf, the doctor, after 3 minutes, looked at me and he said, "We got to get you surgery right now."
Yeah.
And they just wheeled me right on by Roberta, and out through there and went. And they cut. Next thing I know, I was split wide open. We had some wrestlers up at Beckley one time, been a couple of years back, and the boy got in a real compromising position and it popped his neck and he was unconscious. And they took him to the hospital, x-rayed him, and it showed a fractured neck. I mean, his neck was broke. And they brought him to Charleston, and I called Al and asked for prayer, and we got to Charleston, and they done a CT scan, they done an MRI, and his neck wasn't broke. And they said, and the x-rays up the back, they were still there, and they looked at him and said, "We can't explain that. We don't know." And I said, "I can explain that." But it just, time after time after time, God has done those sort of things. And I couldn't name the miracles that I've had in my life. And I'm really grateful for them, and really grateful for the Lord and his amazing grace. Yeah. It's just, but that was really good this morning there. I appreciate you, buddy.
Amen. Amen.
That's just
awesome. Anybody else?
Jimmy as he speaks, Lord, and keep us in your presence and help us to remember we came here to praise your name, Lord, and you help us to do that while we're here this evening. In his name we pray.
Got on the Apple, said, he said, "Can you hear me? You understand what I'm saying?" Bless you, Jim.
Bless you.
Amen.
Saying anything bad about school system. They do a wonderful job. They're preparing our students for college. And they go to college and they get their degrees. But when they get out of college school, there's no jobs. And they don't know how to drive a nail or turn a bolt. Can't do anything practical. Where we need, but here's the thing about it. What I've been telling people is everybody is planning their lives like they're going to live forever.
Yeah.
And we should be preparing our soul to live forever.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do is be more concerned about this inner soul right here.
Amen.
And then God will give us, everything else will come to us.
Sure.
And ain't nothing wrong with getting out and getting a bunch of grease on your hands and working on an automobile or mechanically doing, getting some training like that. That you can still go to college and get a degree in engineering. But if you don't have the practical knowledge of how to use that engineering degree, that's where we're at. But I think the Lord is trying to tell us something here, that we need to dedicate our whole heart, totally, the soul inside. Prepare our soul to meet the Lord.
Yeah.
God will give us everything. He'll lead us in the path we need to go. And I just want to praise Him. You pray for me and my family. It's this hard time we're going through.
Right. Bless you, Michael.
And
bless you, Michael.
And Brenda Gale's physical problems. She can't stand the trip to Atlanta to visit. We'd have to stop 10 times in about 2 hours each time. It'd take us 2 days to get there. But you pray for us that we can.
Bless you, Michael.
When she gets there, she can't do anything physically. So. Just pray for us that the Lord will bless us in that manner too. We've been praying for her
sure.
pain, and when she's hurt, I'm hurt, and I don't get to rest. I need either. So you pray for both of us.
Bless you, Lord Jesus. Bless you.
Give Mike and Brenda an answer to that question.
That's your job.
And this is it. The devil attends church faithfully. He'll walk right in, sit down right beside of you, and tell you all kinds of things. He'll build a wall between you and your best friend, between you and your wife. He'll do that. Even in the church.
Yes.
So, anyone else?
Bless him.
You're done?
Bless
you, Brandon.
Bless you, Brandon. They've been to church. It's been wonderful. Me and Little Faith, I'm a third time that year. The choir, like you said,
Bless you, Stan. Bless your heart. Thank you,
Lord. I ask you, Father, that you reach your healing hand down and you just wrap their hearts up.
Yes.
And
yes.
Your loving embrace, Lord. And let them know that
that's all.
Thank you, Lord.
It's all going to be all right. It's going to work out the way that
thank
you
intend
for it to work out, and they're going to be fine, Lord.
Yeah, bless you, Stan.
We can't control the things that are taking place in other bless lives you, because they have to deal with it on their own basis. All we can do, and we understand this, Father, is that we present you, and no matter what we do or what we say, so God, I'm asking, dear Lord, that you touch their hearts, that give them the strength to be able to say the things
yeah,
that they need
yeah.
to live, most of all live the life that they need to live in front of them, so that you come back, Lord, touch them deep.
Amen.
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 Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
I heard JT say that all the time. Bless you, Stan.
Yeah. You're going to do a congregation.
I see glory.
Anyone else? Choir's going to come down. Tony's going to give us a song. Fellowship one with another. Shake hands with those around about you as the choir comes down.
Amen. Let's all stand. Take our hymn books. Turn to page number 30. Stand as we sing. Page number 30.
Before they sing, didn't Wendy and Judy do a good job tonight?
Yeah.
For some reason, I could hear them tonight. Normally I can't, but I could tonight. Bless you, girl.
This is very, very impromptu. So, y'all pray for us.
Bless him. Amen. Bless y'all.
In this age of uncertainty, questions come to my mind. What is waiting ahead for me and the rest of mankind? Fear not tomorrow, God is already there. He's charting the course you'll take. He sees each hidden snare. He's waiting to guide you through each burden and
Good stuff. Amen. 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 That's good. That was impromptu. We just do impromptu all the time. Amen. Anybody else? That's before your time, Tony. Brother Jim? Come on, buddy.
I'm excited. Ooh, hey, see? Told you I was excited. It was like an out-of-body experience. Yeah, it's been a good place to be. And I was excited when Stan did what he did. You know, sat there and prayed. And that's what we do. That's what we should do. We should lift each other up and lift each other up in prayer. We're glad to be here tonight. If you got your Bibles with you, go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm just now realizing that part of the miracle that Aaron was talking about this morning was in John chapter 6. This is a different part. John chapter 6, verse 35. And before we go into the scripture, we'll go to a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, that your words, Lord, would be made known, Father, Lord, that we would feel your spirit here tonight, Father, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for the service so far, Father, Lord. We ask you, Lord, just to make known, Lord, what it is that you want us to hear, Father. Make it known, Father, what it is, Lord, that we need to know and understand, Father, Lord, so that we can apply it to our lives, Lord, so that we can better live and serve you, Father. We ask you, Lord, just to bless the rest of the service, Father, Lord, and bless the hearts, Father, Lord, that are here tonight. If any are carrying something, if any have a need, Father, Lord, that they need to bring, Father, we pray, Lord, that you give them courage to do that, Lord, and just that your spirit will draw them closer to you, Father, Lord, that they may trust and depend in you, Father. We thank you for all these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And I apologize to the ones running the monitor, because things change so fast with me. I mean, one minute I'm in one direction and then I'm going in another. So, but I am going to stick with the scripture that I gave them, but I might skip through it a little bit. John chapter 6, verse 35, it says this: "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And those are good words. Those are words that we can cling to. But I'm going to focus a little bit on the reaction to those words, really. And then a little bit later, another reaction. In verse 41, here's one reaction. It says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And so they're having a hard time understanding. They had an unwillingness to understand, really. They had an unwillingness to understand what he was saying. You see, they were out to get him. They were out to catch him up. They didn't like him from the beginning because he was speaking truth. And truth was dangerous to them because they weren't living the way that they should be living. They were abusing their power. And so they had that reaction that they murmured against him when he was talking about being the bread of life. Now, other people heard it and they understood, but they heard it and they got angry. And then you go down to verse 52, and again it says, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Because he was talking about how he is the bread. He's the bread of life. And he was speaking of the things to come. And it goes on, and he tells them some more things about who he is. And in verse 59, it said, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? Then you go down to verse 66, and it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And so I thought about that and how Jesus, how his words had different reactions to different people. He would say one thing, but some would turn and go away and some would follow him. So that it got to the point that even his disciples, it says in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? And then it goes on, as I read, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And I was thinking, we face the same things today. Yes. There are hard sayings in this faith that we believe. There are things that appear hard unto the world, that appear harsh unto the world. And they hear it, and they don't want to hear it. Right. And they walk away. I was thinking about these things, and how many of you know what gerrymandering is? Anybody know what gerrymandering is in politics? Simply this is what gerrymandering is. It's a big long word, and it's when politicians are afraid that they won't get elected in their district, they redraw the boundaries so that they can get elected. That's what gerrymandering is. It's what both parties have done historically in the past. If they live in a district and they know that their opposition outnumbers them, even though they're in power, they will take the boundaries and redraw the boundaries to favor them. And so I thought about that, and I thought about how many times we as believers, or we as Christians, we as, you know, the world, will be involved with spiritual gerrymandering. Because God drew out what was right and what was wrong. And I'm going to come down because I've got a little visual. I meant to have a bigger visual, but I couldn't really lugging around. But spiritual gerrymandering. Because when you read the Bible, it's clear what he means to be right and what he means to be wrong. Amen. What the Bible says, you know. And there's a clear line that is drawn in our world and in our understanding that the Bible makes known. It says, on this side, this is right, and on this side, this is wrong. These are the things you should do. These are the things you shouldn't do. These are the things that are holy. These are the things that are an abomination. And that makes it clear. That's why the Bible says that his word is like a two-edged sword. It divides, it cuts, it it's very clear. It's black and white, really, what is right and what is wrong. And this is what God has declared to be right and wrong. Now, other religions or our own self-made religions will say things like, look within yourself to find what's right and wrong, and, you know, and just do what feels right and all this stuff. But the Bible says there is a clear line on what is right and what is wrong. In other words, this is the boundary line. And that's what the Bible teaches. But what we have today and what we've always had, really, is spiritual gerrymandering. And that is where we know what's right and what's wrong, but we want to live over here. We have something in our life that wants to live over here on the right, but or on the wrong, but we don't want it to be wrong. So this is what we do. We take and we draw a boundary right there around it. And then we try to get rid of that line that was there originally. And look, now this becomes right. I know it's hard to see back there. But now this becomes right because that boundary now goes around it. And whatever this issue might be. And churches do this. Churches do this. They say, they declare, they take God's word and they redraw the boundaries and say, this is where we want to be. This is where you're at. We're going to go to you. And we're going to make what's right wrong and what's wrong right. And also at the same time, we might be living here in the right. You might be a strong Christian living here on the right, and this is what the world says. It draws this boundary around you and it says, hey, that's no longer right. Now you're in the wrong. And now you're wrong for what you believe because what you believe is hurtful. And before you know it, this line is all out of whack. And that's what the Bible teaches. It says that there is a way. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think I brought it up in my message and somebody else brought it up. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof is destruction. And so what we have is political gerrymandering where right seems wrong and wrong seems right and we don't know which way to be. But God, when in all his judgment, when he comes, it's not going to look like this. It's going to look like this again. And the line is going to be there, and we have to be careful where we're at. And so I brought that up because it reminded me of those disciples. Because it says many, when they heard his words, what he was saying, they left him. Even though his words were true, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? And it's the same thing today. There are many issues that are dividing us and dividing people. And I tell you what's disheartening is spending this much time explaining why something is not right. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. He was pushing me about my beliefs and asking me these things, and it was tiring to have to explain things that should be pretty open and black and white. It's tiring to have to explain why it's wrong to kill an unborn baby. I mean, why is that so hard? Why should I have to, you know? And the headline the other day was that little child that was born in California that weighed no more than an apple, the smallest baby, that was less than a pound in California, that was born. And just, it's almost like God, you know, showing us at this time, you know, this is what it is. And but the world, this world, has always told us these things. You know, Jesus, when he, in Revelation, he was warning the churches about certain things and saying, you guys have been saying this and you guys have been saying that. And we need to be careful of that also. But spiritual gerrymandering, where we redraw the boundaries to make it fit with our current lifestyle or our current culture. And, you know, that's what they did back in the 1800s. You know, with that thing called slavery. You know, they did the same thing. They drew their own boundaries and said, this is acceptable and this isn't acceptable. And we're going to do these things. And, you know, that's what they did in Germany, in Nazi Germany. They drew their own boundaries and said, well, this is how we do things and this is why. And so they got caught up in those things and drawing those lines the way that they wanted them to be. But you go on, and this is what I wanted to say about this, is that We're not always going to live in this side of the right that we should live on. I'm not. I don't. I don't know if you guys are ever, I don't know if you guys are to the point where you're always right here and you never step across that line, because if you're there, you know, I'm not, because I go across that line every now and then because I'm still human. And we mess up, and we're going to be over here sometimes, because the Bible says that we all sin and fall short of the glory of the Lord, and the Bible says that our righteousness is filthy rags. So we're not always going to be right here, but this is where our hearts should be, and this is where we should live, is on this side right here. Sometimes we're going to be over here. Sometimes we're going to be wrong. Sometimes we're going to be angry. Sometimes we're going to sin. Sometimes we're going to not do the things that we're supposed to do. And we're going to be over here probably quite a lot, maybe every day. But this is what it says. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says this: "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me," talking about Jesus, "and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I gather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." But the words that Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." We're not always going to live on this side of the line, but his grace covers us. His grace is sufficient for us. His grace, and he looks down at us and he says, "You might not be where you're supposed to be, but you are mine, and I love you." But we can't live there. Okay? We can't live there. We can't stay there. We can't spend all our time there and expect to live in the way that he wants us to live. We can't live on this side and declare that this is right. And that's what people are doing. That's what people have done. And that's what they do today, is that they want to live on this side and they want to declare that what they do is right. And they want, you know, to declare what we do is wrong. But the Bible makes clear. You say, "Well, how do we know what it is?" Well, get in your Bible and you can see what it is. It's clearly marked what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And it's also clearly marked that we're not always going to be perfect. And it's also clearly marked that his grace is sufficient for us. But our jobs as Christians is this. Our jobs is to make sure that the world sees this line. And to make sure that our kids see this line. And to make sure that everyone we meet knows this line, and you know, and we do it with compassion and with love. And in the, you know, when people ask you, you give them scripture. When people ask you why it is you believe the way you believe, you give them scripture, you give them evidence. Because Jesus was giving them what they needed to hear, but there was a different reaction. Many of them, they liked what he said up here, but then when he got over here, it was like that was too much, and they just walked away. They went and they found themselves somebody who was going to tell them that was okay. And that's where we get in trouble. But I want to go down and you know, after that verse in 60, or verse 66 in chapter 6, it says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walk no more with him." And then it says, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away?" So there were 12 still there after everybody else had walked away. What have we been learning about in Esther? What we learn about this morning, what have we been learning about for a while now, is that there's always a remnant. God always has a remnant. A core. And so, as many of the disciples walked away, there were those 12. And he said, "Will ye also go away?" Verse 68 says, "Then Simon Peter answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? What a question. What a question. Have you ever asked that question of yourself? When you get tired of maybe you get tired of this life, maybe you get tired of coming week after week, and you get tired of getting bogged down. Sometimes church can be a hard thing. Sometimes it can be hard to work in the church. Sometimes it can be hard to have a position in the church and do all these things. And it's hard. And there are a lot of times when you see things and you know, it upsets you, or you hear things and it upsets you. And a lot of times, you know, you expect you know, people to come in and people to be saved and people, and you don't see it. And there's a lot of things that get wearisome sometimes. There are a lot of things that sometimes your vision gets dim. And you think, well, am I doing it right? Are we doing the right thing? Are we doing the right thing? But this is what they said. To whom shall we go? Where else are we going to go to get what we need in this life? Where else are we going to go to have that comfort that comes with knowing Christ? Where else are we going to go? Where else could we go? That's a rhetorical question, but do you know there's an answer? Nowhere. There's nowhere else to go but to the Lord. Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's what Peter said. To whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life, even if they're harsh. He has the words of eternal life. When others walked away, they stayed. Because you say, well, why did they stay when other people walked away? They had seen enough and witnessed enough and felt enough to know that He was the Christ and that He was the answer that they needed in their life. They had witnessed enough. They were convinced. And you know what? That they were convinced by everything that they knew about Him. They were so convinced that when it came time for Him to say things that was hard to understand, they were going to believe it based on faith. And that's how we should be. A lot of times there are things that we don't understand in this life. And we look at God and we say, we don't understand why this is going on. We don't understand why you're telling us this, or why we're going through this, or why we're facing this battle. But in those times, we have to look back at the evidence that we've gathered throughout our whole life. We have to look back at our day of salvation. We have to look back at our brothers and sisters who have come through the fire and have come through stronger. I think about the ones who have the strongest testimonies, the ones who pray the hardest, and you know, in our church, the rocks of our church have been through the most. They have been through those hard times. And they've learned, they have trusted in the Lord. They said to themselves, where else could we go? And they also said to themselves, there's nowhere else that we can go but to the Lord, because He is good. He is the greatest. And He has the answers. In our hymnals, there's a song, 283. It's called, Where Could I Go? Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford, striving alone. Sometimes we feel that we're alone in this fight. To face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go, or where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul? Seeking a refuge. You know, down here we seek a refuge. But one day we won't have to seek refuge. One day our refuge will be everywhere. And we won't be persecuted. And we won't have to explain why God is so great, because those there understand why God is so great. We won't have to explain to people what it feels like to be saved, because we know what it is to be saved. We're going to be able to sing a song that the angels can't even sing, that we have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it says this, needing a friend to save me in the end, where could I go but to the Lord? That's who we put our comfort in. That's who we put our trust in. Even when the things that He tells us are hard to hear and hard to understand. Even when the world tells us the exact opposite is true. Even when we're tempted to abandon His teachings because they seem a little hard in our current atmosphere. But we have to look at the evidence of what our eyes have seen and what our hearts have felt and know that He is in control. And it's a dangerous thing to make up our own boundaries and pretend that those are the boundaries of God. The Bible talks about deceiving yourself. It talks about being blind and falling into a pit. If we try to make up our own rules, believe me, we're deceiving ourselves. And that's not a good place to be. As we get a song of invitation tonight, the question stands, where could we go but to the Lord? The question stands. Joshua made known. You look at that bunch that came out of Egypt. You look at all that they had seen and all that they had witnessed. But when something tempting came along, man, it drew a lot of them away. It drew a lot of them away to where they were willing. You look at the bottom of that mountain when Moses left for a little while. And they said, our gods had brought us out of Egypt. And they tried to erase what God had done and they tried to replace God. And you look at that and you see what happened in that situation. But Joshua was there through all of that with Moses. And we heard what Joshua said. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, what was he saying? Where else are we going to go? To a golden calf? No. Why would we do that and throw away our lives? But we're going to stay with the living God who's up on this mountain. The living God who has drawn us out of Egypt. The living God who was there and delivered us out of the hand of our bondage. And that's where we are. We are there. We have to decide, what are we going to go? Are we going to follow God's commandments, or are we going to draw our own boundaries? Are we going to have that spiritual redrawing of what we declare to be right? Where could we go but unto the Lord? As we get a song of invitation, if you have a need tonight, we ask you to come. Come to the place that you can get fulfillment. Come to the place where you can get an answer. Come to the living God that we serve and ask Him for what it is that you need as we get a song of invitation.
Let's stand and turn to page 149. 149.
Bless you, Tony.
I have decided to follow.
About when people stand before the Lord, and one of the saddest things that I think people are going to say is, that's what everybody was doing.
Yeah.
That's what everybody was doing. Imagine standing in front of God and saying, everybody that day was worshiping that calf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or everybody in the world that I grew up in believed this certain way. Don't be a victim of the times in which you live. Don't be a victim of the times in which you live. And how do you not be a victim of the times in which you live? You cling to the Word of God because it's timeless. It's timeless. And it's truth. Anything else before we dismiss? What? Virgil, would you dismiss this word of prayer?
I think we're having a business meeting.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. Business meeting right afterwards.